The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
We are back. It is the final hooter on lovefully.com. Thank you very much to Radio General for letting us use the studios to make us sound professional.
Yep, yep. We'll keep trying to sound professional.
That's all we do. Keep trying.
It's very trying. In fact, it's trying if you're a Warrington fan at the moment, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Trying if you're a Wigan fan. Who'd have thought Wigan and Warrington would be in the positions where they are?
Oh, goodness. I tell you what, though. I'm standing up for Lee Centurions. Have you noticed?
What a win for Lee. Where did that one come from?
The first in 33 years against Wigan. It's been a long time in coming.
No one mentioned it other than you just then.
It's been a long time in coming. Absolutely sensational.
If you go off the rugby league press, the big game was Casper's demolition of Warrington rather than Lee's big night out.
To be fair, I mean, Greg Eden did score another 5 tries, which takes him to 30 for the season.
Listen, I could score 5 tries on that in that team if I get my boots back on.
Right, I'll look forward to you taking a place in that wing.
My speed days have gone. I'll be walking, not running.
Well, it's okay, so is Monaghan's as well.
He still gets a gig.
He just gets an occasional run out, doesn't he, for Cass this season?
Yeah, good to see the big dog knocking about.
Definitely, definitely. But I tell you what, team of the week, if you're not going to go with Lee Centurions beating Wigan for the first time in 33 years, I don't want to mention it again.
Who?
What about Huddersfield Giants?
Yes.
Absolutely sensational.
I like in their style at the minute.
Jake Mamo, Man of Steel, the way that he's gone about, and since he's actually got in that team and got himself fit, he's just slotted straight in. I mean, he might have looked like a younger version of the guy with all the hair who's at London Broncos now. Mr. Jam Sandwich on Twitter.
You know that Jared Sammet?
Jared Sammet, yeah. Yeah, he might look like a younger version of him with these flowing locks, but I tell you what, he's a decent player, isn't he?
Other social media outlets are available, by the way.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You can do a bit of Facebook as well.
Yeah, but yeah.
Can we mention any others?
I like the look of Mambo.
Mambo?
Yeah, Mambo. I'm calling Mambo.
Why are you calling him Mambo?
I just want to call him Mambo.
Is that so you can play that record? Hey, Mambo.
I think Huddersfield should do that every time he scores.
You reckon?
Yeah. Exciting prospect, isn't he?
Very much so. Very much so.
It's just scary to think that he can't get a game in Australia because he don't think he's good enough. And he comes over here and he's ripping it up.
It just shows
scary thought, isn't it?
The strength of talent, doesn't it, that's knocking around in Australia when he can come over and command such performances.
I get the impression with Huddersfield that Rick Stone slowly got to grips with the British game.
It's took him a long time, though, hasn't it?
6 months? It's not long.
Oh, come on. They were rubbish
terms, it is, but over a year, it's not.
He's had nearly 12 months at the job now.
Yeah.
They were garbage this time last year.
You can't say that about the Huddersfield Giants.
They were rubbish.
Listen, we were going to have Earl Crabtree on tonight. It's a good job he wasn't here hearing that comment.
He might actually agree with me. In fact, I might raise it with him when he's actually on this show.
Hopefully we'll have him on for the next one.
Excellent.
And then we'll mention it and he can have a go at you.
I'll look forward to it.
All right, Ben. You wouldn't have said it if he was on the phone line right now.
I'll ask him. I'll ask him. Yeah, you betting me that I'm not going to ask him that question?
I'll bet you a pie.
Right, okay. I'll raise you a pie and I'll have a pasty instead.
Oh, I thought you were going to say lobby then. You owe me a lobby anyway.
Yeah. Most people do. Yeah. To be fair.
You shy on giving the lobbies out.
Yeah. Well, I'll go for the pasties, not a problem, but you're not having anything to do with my lobby.
All right, then. Before we talk Super League, should we talk Championship?
Some great games happening
at the
weekend.
There was, wasn't there? Yeah.
Yeah.
I went over to Oldham.
Oh, yeah.
At Stalybridge, a very picturesque ground. Weather was a bit hit and miss.
You get that lovely view, don't you, from the main stand of those hills, rolling hills in the background.
The rolling hills of Lancashire.
Yeah.
Or is it Greater Manchester these days?
I'm not sure whether they class themselves as Manchester.
It's probably fighting
or
talk on the streets of Stalybridge.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you go to someone like Saddleworth, for example, they don't know whether they're Yorkshiremen or Lancashire, do they?
No.
So
they're all confused.
Stalybridge is kind of in that same sort of area, isn't it?
Weather was bizarre.
Okay, tell us about it.
Well, one minute it'd be sunny, next minute it'd be raining, next minute it'd be windy. Next minute your coat's on, next minute your coat's off.
I had a similar sort of experience because I was over...
I was almost doing the hokey-cokey, weather-wise.
I was in South Manchester at Sale.
Oh, right, okay, you were in the posh bit
I was,
in Manchester.
Yeah, it's a lovely ground, that. I do love going to Haywood Road, to be honest. It's one of my favourite little venues.
Very upmarket is Sale, isn't it?
Well, you wouldn't have said that if you'd seen the fire damage that was in the main stand, to be fair.
All right, okay.
Yeah, apparently some yobos had gone and set something on fire a couple of weeks ago.
All right, okay.
But
no, it's not some angry Swinton fans then, no?
No. I don't think so. Although they've not been the most convincing, shall we say, over the last few weeks.
Neither have Oldham.
I think that everybody's understanding that both Oldham and Swinton are fighting for the lives literally to stop in the division, aren't they?
Problem with Oldham is you start off great.
Yeah.
Bit like what Scott Naylor said to you in one of your recent interviews.
Yeah.
Great first half, just can't finish the job. I mean, they're 18-0 up.
And that was against Hull KR, wasn't it?
The mighty Hull Kingston Rovers.
I was expecting Hull Kingston Rovers to actually smash everybody to smithereens in this division, and it's not always
seriously
worked out, has it?
I wasn't impressed with Hull KR on Sunday, actually.
Really?
No, everyone keeps saying, oh, they're going to be in the upsetting the Super League clubs to get their status back, which is what their aim is. That's what they're all about this year, isn't
it? Yeah.
They really want Super League. That's why all the fans are there believing in it and travelling in big numbers like they did on Sunday. If they're going to do that and they're going to achieve that dream, they're going to have to play a lot better.
Do you think that they're saving themselves because they know that they've already got the top spot sewn up?
I don't know, because even Tim Sheens wasn't that impressed in his post-match interview after Oldham.
Right, okay.
You can't go around giving teams 15, 20-point start and expect to win the game every week. And so if you're going to do that in the qualifying eight against, say Widnes or a Lee, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, by the way, you're not going to win many games, are you? Now, whether they've got money to go and sign a couple of established players to get the job finished for them at the start of Super 8, who knows? But there was one or two guys that I was looking at and thinking, not quite good enough for me.
Well, they have got Justin Carney coming in, haven't they?
Yeah.
Signed from Salford.
Yeah.
So that's certainly one name.
If he can stay out of trouble.
They've got Lee Jewett coming into the side, haven't they?
He did
a good job for Salford a couple of years since. He's been in Australia for a while.
Mm.
But was there anybody else that stood out for you then in that case? Where do you think they're lacking?
You put me on the spot.
Oh, see, this sounded like it's going to be a long job when I said that.
Listen, should we hear from Tim Sheens while you think about it?
Yeah, maybe he'll tell us where they were lacking.
Richard Steed is asking the questions.
Tim, that was a real mixed bag, I guess, wasn't it?
Sure was. Two game of two halves from our point of view, although the back end of the half we came back into the game, which was pleasing, but shot ourselves in the foot many a time in that first 20, 25, 30 minutes. But to their credit, they came back, but again, 3 weeks in a row now, we've been chasing points and having to come from behind. To the credit of the boys, they have, but it's still a worry.
You've mentioned starts in the past, errors, penalties, that kind of thing. Is it frustrating that these things don't seem to be ironed out at the moment?
Yeah, but there's nothing consistent. That it's not the same thing every time, like the kickoff where it goes offshore, he's foot onto his hand and it's a knock on from the start, then we don't touch the ball. I think we had one set about there at their five, so they're the things we need to go set for set with sides, and that's where we're starting poorly. If we can do that, we can mix it with anyone, including Salford, which we did in the Challenge Cup. If you look at the possession count, we were very high with completion, didn't make any mistakes, we run hard, we played simple. But for whatever reason, we're just doing silly little things, lack of concentration at times, just individual mistakes that are burning the team. It's not always the team as such, it's just individuals, but they've all got something that they're probably a bit disappointed in today.
You seem to get over the line because of a really good last 10 minutes of the first half and a good start to the second. Is that a good thing, Tim, that you can turn it on for 20 minutes in a game and get a result, or is it more of an indication of the division that you're in?
No, it is a good thing. Is that you've got to be able to come back. I mean, the scoreboard pressure was on us at 18-0, and they were cruising, and then we did come back, got back into the game and turned it back on them, put some heat on them, and then, of course, the second half we started much better and kept that pressure on to go past them. So that I think is a good thing, but you don't want to be giving too many sides 12 or 18-point start, which is, last week it was 16 against Featherstone, this week it was 18 here. So, that's... we talk about it. We've got some weeks to get it right, but we're going to have to work harder.
Bit of a switch around this afternoon. Jordan Abdul in the centres, Danny Addy in the halves. How did you think that went?
Yeah, well, that's... I thought worked out okay. It was hard to say because it wasn't a dry day. When you play a... If you want to play a, a, a ball playing 5-8 and you want to play expansively, you can't. We expected a dry day, turned up in the first half anyway, it was terrible. The second half came out with sunny. So Danny, I think, is a much more dominant ball caller and helps Jamie out a lot. Jordan's more the runner. But, I had another look at it today. I've tried Bobby there, and Jordan in the centres has played centres a couple of times for us now, and he looks good in the centres. But, it's probably an experiment that's not helping things as well, although that doesn't mean you drop a ball from a kickoff and do some silly passes, does it? But I think Danny looked fairly comfortable there. That might stay the case for a little while.
I think you had four seasons in one day, really, because you say it was a monsoon at one point, and then the wind was whipping around. It wasn't the easiest conditions, as you say, was it?
No, but it's there for two teams. You know, we were downhill. We had the wind behind us. We just didn't take advantage of that. Where we completed and really put the pressure on. Batley is the same. We ran downhill, but we put 20 or 30 on them in the first half, and then the game was over. But we allowed them 18 start, came back, as I said, but. Again, that's still a concern, but at least I give them credit for the fact that they did. You still got to be able to do that, don't you?
One positive throughout the season seems to be different games, different young players come and perform. Mm. Well, we praised Joe Wardle to the nines, and then he knocked the ball on twice at the play of the ball. But up till that point, Tim, it was a pretty good performance from Joe, wasn't it?
Yeah, he didn't knock the ball on. They knocked it out of his hand both times. He knows that they got him, but he's getting up. People are getting up with the hand on the ball, and he's not experienced enough to steady before he needs to pull away from him and then play the ball. He tried to get the ball down, and of course it can go either way, can't it? A referee can be pretty tough on you. If that's at home, probably a referee's a little tougher on them for those couple of plays. But but it is a learning curve for him. He runs hard, tackles hard, still very raw, got a lot to learn. Joe Cater had a solid little game too for us again. Lightweight though, in heavy conditions, isn't always easy either. He performs better on a dry field when he's quicker. But overall, the younger ones are, there's a handful of young kids coming through the club really well.
Who says Australians are wusses? He stood there in the blizzard during that interview. The wind was whipping around, it was raining, and he just stood there and took the questions from Richard Steed.
Yeah, I tell you what, you did well just to hang on, because I thought a couple of times you were going to get blown away.
I thought I was going to do a Mary Poppins without the umbrella. But yeah, great to see our Australian coach, national coach, praising the opposition. He probably even hadn't heard of Oldham up until this season. He's probably never even been Batley before up until this season.
No, it's probably a learning experience for him as well, isn't it, as much as anything else. Yeah. But... you've got to credit Hull Kingston Rovers, haven't you? Because they almost let the game get away from them and still had enough in the tank to fight back and win. And they've only lost one game over the course of this season, really.
Yeah.
In the league campaign. And that was when they took half a side to Toulouse. I think they have been shown, like you said, to maybe have a little bit of a soft underbelly, though, over recent weeks. Because we saw it against Bradford, didn't we, where Bradford just stuck it to him at the Summer Bash.
Yes.
Featherstone did likewise and came away with a point in a draw. And were apparently very unlucky in that 20-all draw, which happened last week. And then they've come into this week and been given a lesson by Oldham, really, and had to turn it around.
And that's a problem. That's my fear for them. That's a problem they've got. If they're going to do that when it matters in the eighth, they're going to do what happened to Lee in the first year.
In the first year, yeah. Because, Lee played some magnificent rugby that particular season, and yet other times when it got to the eights, they just got bossed around the field, didn't they?
Mm, so that's something that Tim Sheens is going to have a work on. He's obviously highlighted it. He's got issues regarding some players. That's why he's brought in the guys you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Be interesting to see whether there are any new additions to that squad.
I think that they'll leave something back, won't they? He's a canny old coach. He knows what he's doing.
Young lad who's a coach, but certainly knows where Oldham and Batley is. Is the Batley coach, and you spoke to him after they defeated Swinton at the weekend. It's Matt Diskin.
Well, Matt, congratulations on the victory. What's your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, really, really pleased. I thought, as a coach, you're always trying to look at ways to improve, and I thought the second half was a really scrappy game from both sides, and certain things influence that, so read between the lines of what you think. So it ended up a scrappy game, but I thought what won us that game in the first 40 minutes, I thought we were real disciplined and controlled performance. We dictated field position, we was defensively, you know, harassing Swinton and forced them into a lot of errors, and it was a really good 40 minute performance.
I was really impressed with your middlemen. I thought all of them went well, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, they worked really well, and, you know, finally, you know, we're a bit too far into the season to really make anything of the four, but we're finally getting to grips with, you know, new culture, new standards, new systems, and it's looking good for us to build for the rest of the year.
I know certainly the last game that I saw and the last chat that we had was after that Oldham game, which was almost a case of in the first half I score, you score, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Your defence seems to have really tightened up over those coming weeks.
It does, you know, it's one of them. You know, the defence, we've changed a lot this year, you know, and how we're structured defensively, and it's taken a while for us to grasp that. It looks like the penny's finally dropped for us, and if that's the case, you know, we're going to be a very hard team to break down. But, you know, there's only one or two performances where we've got to sustain that week to week to week, and that's a challenge for us now.
I know it's always a difficult one when I always ask about who impressed you.
I think for us, like I said, I thought the middles were really good. They got some real good line speed. Worked hard from the inside and forced some errors from the Swinton halves. But I thought Patch Walker was massive for us today. Provides a real calm and influence. And that first half, you know, his composure and his kicking game were fantastic.
Patch Walker, he's been around some years now.
He has, yeah. Started off at Dewsbury, did a stint at Sheffield, did really well at Sheffield as well. And since he's gone to Batley, he's offering that steadying hand as well. To be fair, in this game, Batley kind of dominated after the first 20 minutes. I thought it all happened when they changed the middles around and they brought their prop forwards on from the bench. They had James Brown, who's been around the competition for quite a while. Not the singer.
I was just about to do a James Brown impression then.
You know, so no, don't.
All right,
don't inflict that on our listener.
No singing on this loverably.com podcast.
And Alex Rowe as well, who's also a bit of a canny old campaigner these days, isn't he?
Still a handful, though, at this level.
He is, and, you know, I mean, he looks like your old-fashioned prop forward. You know, he's a burly sort of character, but give him that ball, he'll always fight for every inch and every metre that he's going to get you. You know, Batley led by 16-0 at half-time, so they almost got the game sewn up, and although Swinton made it interesting, they scored five tries, including one from Brad Day.
After a dodgy start for Matt Diskin, he seems to have steadied the ship, and I get the impression they've just done enough to survive in the Championship.
Yeah, I think he's starting to look a little bit further forward than that now. I think you're right. I think they've got enough points in the bag already. I think they've won seven games, if I'm not mistaken, of the first 17. So, the form's been a little bit patchy, but, you know, they're definitely defending a lot better. I mean, we saw them at the Blackpool Bash, didn't they, when they only conceded 13 against Dewsbury in what I will say was a pretty poor game. But certainly that's a turnaround, only conceding 12 at Swinton. Because Swinton are one of those sides structured under John Duffy that they throw the ball about and ask questions. You've seen them a number of times over the last couple of years, and you know what John's capable of as a coach and what type of rugby he likes to coach. So, you know, for Matt Diskin and a Matt Diskin experienced side, shall we say, to hold them at bay and only concede the two tries, I think he's getting his message across, isn't he?
You call it your man of the match, that's Brad Day. Battle board or second rower and the try scorer, a try scoring forward. We like to see that.
I did. Okay, I'm joined by Batley Bulldogs' Brad Day. Brad, tough out there today.
Yeah, it was, especially first 20 minutes, I'd say. Swinton were well in it all the way through, but I think the first 20 minutes, what we did, it showed at the end. Towards second half, I know it were a bit scrappy second half, but we always felt like we were on top and in control of the game.
Yeah, there was a lot of composure shown, you know, because at times the tackles were flying in, weren't there? There was penalties both ways.
Yeah. I think people like Patch Walker and stuff like that, as our Patch really took, you know, game by scruff at the neck, calmed things down, and we knew what we had to do, as game plan and everything like that, so that's what we stuck to.
You came up with a crucial try yourself. How did the game go for you?
I thought we were all right in parts. Especially it was nice to get over for that try, a nice line, and got over is always good for me.
Have you scored many this season?
I think that's my third.
Where next for Batley? Because I know that your own form's sort of been up and down as a team, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a bit different this year, but, you know, we've just got to embrace that now, and take it week on week and see where we can get. Hopefully, you know, we'll start moving up ladder and, you know, do well and possibly get to Shield, or depending on results. I know it's a long shot, but the top four possibly, but you know, it's a long shot. But we're just concentrating on week and week now and trying to get some form really together and work on his partnerships, and hopefully it'll prove dividends at the end of the year.
And how are you enjoying your time at Ball?
Yeah, it's been great. This is my third season now. It's a great club. Everybody knows everybody. It's family. You always feel welcome, which is nice. And I think that shows in your rugby as well. If you're enjoying yourself, obviously you're going to play better as well.
You do seem very much together.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we've got a great group of lads, and we do socials together and whatnot. And that's always good, because, you know, you've got other common interests with each other, and we get to share that with each other as well, which is good.
Sounds like he's in the bar there.
He did, apart from that last bit, which gave it away, because I had that same trouble with Wynn that you had.
Yes.
Over at Oldham.
Yeah.
But good to hear from him. He's been a really decent signing. Started off at Castleford and coming through their academy ranks, did Brad Day. But he's done a real good job there for Batley. And he's a young player that's developing year on year. So I look forward to seeing just where he gets, because he's still only 22.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Right, Park, we mentioned there being wins for Hulkenston Rovers defeating Oldham 32-24. We mentioned Batley getting a big win against Swinton Lions 26-12. Other winners in round 17 of the Championship saw Featherstone defeat Bradford to another defeat, 36-12.
Big win, that.
Big win. Big win for London Broncos, 52-8 against the Dewsbury Rams.
Yep.
Halifax defeated Sheffield Eagles 54-0. And
that's a massive win, that, to be
that's
fair.
That's a massive win. And on the Saturday, there was a big win for Toulouse against Rochdale.
Yeah, their centre, Bastian Adder, scoring a hat-trick in that one.
A hat-trick?
Three tries.
Oh, is that the Greg Eden of the Championship?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But having said that as well, there was also a hat-trick scored by Api Peferangi of the London Broncos.
I'm glad you mentioned that name.
See, I thought you was just skirting over the issue, to be honest.
No one's talking about the London Broncos, but they're going about the business, they're grinding out the victories, impressively against Dewsbury, and they've snuck their way inside the top three there, and no one's batted an eyelid.
They're a really good side, you know, they throw the ball about. The job that Andrew Henderson is doing down there in London is tremendous. We've spoken about him and championed him a couple of times on this show, haven't we? And maybe he's not getting as much credit as everyone deserves, or maybe that's where he's after, coming under the radar. Nobody's talking about them. Everybody's talking about Hulkingston Rovers. Everybody's talking about Toulouse. But this London Broncos side is every bit as good as the Toulouse
Never
side for me.
Never on points with Toulouse. It is the top four of Hulkiar at the top, Toulouse, London and Featherstone. Halifax not giving up the fight of making it to the qualifying four.
No, but you get the feeling that if they lose another couple of games, Halifax will be done there, don't you? You know, Featherstone look to have the edge on them at the moment, the 3 points in front. For me, the real interesting thing is what's happening at the bottom of the table, though.
Bradford look doomed, don't they?
They do. Will they ever reach nil point?
Yeah, they got a good spurt on early doors, didn't they? Look like they were going to get into the black.
Yeah.
But at the minute, they're just stuck on -2.
And of course, they've gone and finally been able to appoint Jeff Tuvey as boss, haven't
they? The man
they?
Is finally here. Can he inspire them?
Well, he's been here all the time, hasn't he? But he's not been able to
he's
do anything.
He's not been the coach.
He's
no.
not been the coach. No, that's been left to Lee Beattie, who must be a relieved man, to be honest, because he was running everything behind the coaching scenes at Bradford, wasn't he?
That's what confused me on Sunday. I forgot about Scott Naylor with his touchline banner. I've seen Alan Hunt in the dugout.
Oh, yeah, nice guy, Alan. Really nice guy.
I mean, even Chris Charles mentioned it if he took over and said, no, I'm just helping out. Because I even forgot that the assistant threw his hand in for work commitments.
I'm sure he'll be back somewhere, though, won't he, Alan Hunt? Maybe this will give him the bug again.
It might do, mightn't it?
Could well do, yeah. But there's a real scramble developing, isn't there? If you look at the bottom five of the Championship, you've got Rochdale Hornets, Oldham, Swinton and Dewsbury, where there's only 3 points separating all of those sides, and then, like you mentioned, Bradford Bulls with some distance to make up.
Star player for Hulkingston Rovers, Sean Lump, for me, and I caught up with him after the game against Oldham. Sean London Oldham give you a real good tough 80 minutes there today.
Yeah, it wasn't half. I thought they played great today. They really they came out the blocks and they took the game to us, and like you say, it was a good test of our character to come back there, and especially in the first half. It was lucky we got them 16 points, because we needed them going into half time, especially coming down coming up the hill in the second half. So yeah, but like you say, all credit to Oldham. I thought they were fantastic today.
What's your thoughts 18-0 though?
Oh, just well, like I said, we're always confident, you know, not arrogant, but confident that if we never completed, we never had the ball, so we knew that get a bit of field position and just settle ourselves and get back into the game, that we'd have a chance. So, and we did that. So yeah, like I say, we're always positive and confident.
And obviously got the points on the board, but a strange all day weather-wise wasn't really good enough for summer rugby league.
Oh, that's England for you, isn't it, mate? You can't count on anything. But like you say, they had the same conditions to play for to play with. I reckon we, especially in that second half, our kicking game from our halfbacks, Addy and Jamie, was brilliant. So yeah, like you say, at the end of the day, that's not good enough for where we want to be. So if we're really you know, pushing for promotion like we want to, we need to be better than that.
Are you happy with your form at this moment?
Me personally, yeah, not too bad. I'm playing 80 minutes. Yeah, like I say, I'm getting the odd try in there, but like I say, I'm not really bothered about my performance in terms of, like, I want to play. I just want the team to play well and win every week. So as long as I'm contributing to that, I'm more than happy with my game. Like I say, I just work hard every week for my team, and hopefully, like I say, get the win, and we did today.
It's obviously one game at a time, but are you guys thinking about the Super 8 yet?
No, well, like I say, I don't even know who we play next week. I don't care. Like I say, I take every week as it goes. I don't look at fixture list, because there's no point looking next week or the week after, because there's nothing I can do about it. Well, now I can look to next week, because I can now prepare for next week's game. But if I, like I say, this, I'll prepare on next week's game now, and I'm not bothered who we got after that, or who we play 2 weeks after that, or who we play in the middle eight. I couldn't give a monkey's. All I do is prepare for the game, and that's all I can do.
Sean, you're playing Dewsbury next.
Oh,
don't forget.
Have you had a look?
Yeah. Don't be turning up at Batley, because you're not playing there. You're definitely playing Dewsbury next.
Hey, you've got to admire his sort of individual focus, though, haven't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
The fact that he's so tuned into his own rugby league.
He didn't give a monkeys about anybody else.
No, I think that's really good, that. It's really good. I wonder whether he thought that when he was appearing in the grand final for Leeds. So it doesn't really matter who we're playing.
Doesn't matter. And that's England for you with the weather. It sounded like he's on a holiday.
Yeah, I thought that he maybe... I thought you come from somewhere else.
Maybe he did. He's from Cumbria and from near Liverpool.
There you go. Well, I have
two foreigners clash in Manchester.
To be honest, Sean...
Sorry, Greater Manchester.
To be honest, Sean, I have that problem understanding him as well, to be fair.
Cheers, lad. Yeah, Sean Lunt, I think he's the go-to man for Hulkington Rovers. All right, they've got the backup of Heffernan as well, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Heffernan at the back, he's been the man that's been scoring the tries. Mm. I think with Lunt,
he's the go-to man.
He's so experienced. And you look at every single club, it don't matter whether you play Super League, whether you play Division 3 of the National Conference or Division 5 of the North West Counties.
Yeah.
The best teams are the ones which have the most dynamic hookers, aren't they? You know, and in Sean Lunt, he's a fine example. You know, he's been one of my favourite players to watch, to be honest, over a number of years. I think that, you know, he really is a very, very good number nine, and he just puts teams on the front foot, doesn't he?
He certainly does. Anyway, it'd be rude not to talk about League One while we're talking about the Championship. They're up to round 10 as the scrap continues between... It's a north-south divide, isn't it?
It is, but where are you classing Toronto, though? They're out on their own.
They're out on their own. They're unbeaten. I expect them to go unbeaten as well, to be honest. But anyway, in round 10, there are wins, a big win. A close run thing, anyway. It's a big win for Workington, 25-24 against the North Wales Crusaders. Hemel Stags improved, but still lost out to Coventry Bears, 28-24. There was a draw between Doncaster and Barrow Raiders.
Great result, that, by the way.
Big result. Newcastle Fun, they were too strong for Keighley. They seem to be struggling in League One this year, don't they? Whitehaven ran up 62-6 winners against the Gloucestershire Allgoulds, and a big win for York against Huntsville, 52-10. And on the Saturday, London Scholars finally got a win against Oxford, winning 31-18. And the Toronto onslaught continued against the South Wales Ironmen, 66-0. they've not won a game since last April.
Yeah, I mean, you said that about London Scholars and Oxford, but they're actually really well placed against each other in the league. They're nowhere near the bottom.
No.
Scholars have won four and drawn one of their 10 matches so far. Oxford have been the big improvers for me. They've won four and lost five of the nine games that they've played so far. You're right to headline Toronto. They're just in a league of their own at the minute, aren't they?
Yeah.
And, unfortunately for the South Wales Ironmen, they're just being... Well, they're on a downward spiral, it would appear, aren't they? I think.
Don't know who's worse, South Wales or Hemel Staggs?
There's various rumours of what's going on behind the scenes at South Wales regarding, you know, people pulling out and money not being there and what have you. So it's a real worry about the future of
that. It's a worry for me for Hemel Staggs. I had high hopes for them.
I'm not sure about this season, to be honest, because, I mean, they split the vote, didn't they? Because they've been training.
I mean when they came into the league.
Oh, yeah,
They were well established in the Conference League and around London, you know, and they seemed to be, if anyone was going to do it down there, they were the team, but it's just fell apart for them, hasn't it?
I think, unfortunately, maybe the decision to share training facilities with Dewsbury has counted against
them.
What it meant is it's alienated some of the players that were there before. But I hope that they do end up pulling it through, because, like you said, they've got quite a long history of rugby league down in that area, haven't they? And let's hope they can turn it round.
Still a long way to go in that league, by the way. They're only 10 rounds. They've got rather 16 teams, so they've got to play how many games?
Well, they split.
They split
in about 5 weeks' time. So I think they play either 14 or 15 games. And then they have a top eight and a bottom eight.
Okay, that's confusing.
So you was expecting it to be a 30-game season, weren't you? Looking at that league table with 16 teams, that's far too easy.
Right, okay, so what is it? Toronto will go up if it's them.
No, it isn't.
They have the playoff, don't they? Because if you remember, Rochdale beat Toulouse.
Yeah, they have a playoff.
So basically,
at the moment, if they were to draw a line in the league now, Whitehaven would have to go to Toronto to try and win. The winner of that would get promoted, and then Whitehaven would enter another playoff after that to get a second chance of getting promoted.
Rich at the minute, Barrow are in there, York are in there, Donny are still knocking about, Workington could have a say in it, maybe.
Yeah, and to be fair as well, you know, we've got teams...
Chiefly, Hunts are all tied on 10 points in Newcastle. It's pretty tight.
We've got teams in that division as well that have changed the coaching staff, haven't they,
at
this early juncture. You know,
Richard Horn.
I never saw that one coming, to be honest. He's been an assistant coach at Hull for several seasons, was a brilliant player for them in the day, wasn't he? You know, but he's cutting his teeth as a first team coach for the first time at Doncaster. I think it's a good move for him, to be honest, because you know, at the moment, if you look at how they've gone 10 games, they've won 6, they've only lost 2 games, they've drawn 2, so it was a bit of a strange decision perhaps to get rid of the previous coach who's landed over at Hunslet's, Gary Thornton. So, you know, it's one of those, but I think there's some twists and turns to come. Do I think anybody will beat Toronto? No, I don't. But the second promotion spot, that's anybody.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Oh, I tell you what, you mentioned is going to be twists and tails, did you just say that?
Twists and tails? Twists and turns?
Oh, yeah, okay.
You can twist your tail if you want.
Twist,
I've not got a problem.
Shout. Yeah, do that.
Shake and back. What else are you going to chuck in?
Oh, who knows? I think there's going to be a few of them in the Super League before we get to the split as well, to be honest.
Oh, goodness. I tell you what,
at
this moment in time, looking at the bottom four, then that is where, again, the real story is going.
It is, isn't it?
At the moment, you've got Castleford, who's already secured their spot next season, so they can start planning.
Yeah.
Salford Red Devils have secured their spot. Leeds were safe. Hull FC are safe, and Wakefield are safe in the division. Where they're going to finish is anybody's business.
Exactly.
In saying that, because there is still a lot to come rugby league-wise. But the bottom four is looking decidedly interesting, particularly if Wigan carry on losing.
Who'd have thought Wigan would lose 6 and draw 1?
You wouldn't, would you?
And who'd have thought Warrington would be on the same dismal form?
Yeah. I mean, I thought they turned it around a couple of weeks ago, Warrington, and then they've dropped right back into it again, haven't they?
With all the millions that Catan spend on great players, who'd have thought they'd be in the mess that they're in?
Yeah.
Okay, rumours Steve McManara is going to be the coach. Can he be the man to get them out of the position where they are?
Oh, that's a really tough question, to be honest, isn't it?
Huddersfield seems to be getting themselves together, so they might be safe.
Well, we've added some stuff up, haven't we?
Me and you are going to make a prediction here, aren't we?
We have.
We're going to put our professional necks on the line.
Yeah, we've looked at the fixtures.
We've looked at the fixtures. We've done our professional analysis.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
It's got us nowhere, but I'll tell you what we've got.
Listen, don't listen to my predictions. I'm currently bottom of the media league.
Oh, see, and I have done. I followed you with everything that you've said here, to be honest, and you're leading me down a garden path.
I'm bottom of the pile as we speak, but hey, no, you never know. I could make a late charge for it.
So, what we reckon is going to happen is that Wigan, with the returning players, will start picking up some points.
Yes.
They'll get a place in the eight.
They will. Just about scrape it.
We also think that Huddersfield have started to come into this good form that they're in. They're going to maintain it over the next month or so. They're going to secure their spot.
That's my professional knowledge coming to the forefront.
We're only predicting Warrington will win one more game.
I think Warrington have gone, man. I covered a game for a local radio station at Huddersfield.
Stop boasting.
And seriously, the body language from the Warrington players, for me, just give out all the wrong signals.
So if they get just this one more win, then they're going to finish with 14 points. They're on 12 at the moment, aren't they? Okay. Who else haven't I mentioned? Catalans. We actually looked at their fixtures and think that they've got three of the last five which are winnable.
The whole fixture might just see them home, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean for definite there. Yeah. So we reckon they're going to finish probably with about 19 points, which will just about keep them above water. They might finish ninth. We reckon that Widnes, they'll get another couple of wins under the belt, but it won't be enough to keep them off the bottom of the table. And Lee, we're actually tipping them to win a couple more games as well. But that might have just been the fact that I'm sitting in a studio with a Lee shirt.
I'm boasting the fact that you beat Wigan for the first time in 33 years. We know. Get over it. Put your pies away.
It's got to be done.
Put your lobbies away.
It's got to be said.
Was it the battle of the pies and the lobbies on Thursday?
The battle of the borough. That's what it is.
Is that what it was?
It was the battle
the
of the borough.
The lobbies won the pies.
Hey, it was worth it. You can chuck all your insults at me now. Get them all in now, because I just don't care. I'm on cloud nine at the moment.
I bet Sean Wayne wasn't after that.
To be fair, he was very civil in the press conference afterwards. And, you know, just pointed to the fact that he thought that the defence was a bit diabolical near the line and that they have to improve
just a bit.
But by our reckoning, we reckon that Widnes will finish bottom. Warrington will finish second bottom. Lee will finish third bottom. And Catalans will finish in the ninth spot.
And that's the only predictions we're going to make at the minute, because we're still waiting to see who's where in the championship, because it's all still to play for there. And for me, all depends on how Huckinson Rovers are going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And the real dark horse is that might have a say on where the Super League clubs end, even though they won't be in the top three, but they'll have a say on matters, is London and Toulouse.
Both of them play some excellent rugby, like we've hinted at.
And the problem that Widnesaw and Lee are going to have is the fact that the bottom two only get three home games and four away.
Hang on, the way that these fixtures have gone, we've actually tipped Warrington and Widnes to finish in the
bottom
two.
Of course we have. I'm doubting myself already.
So I've gone through. I've done the statistical analysis again, and just looked down at what
that
we ticked
posh.
And what we crossed.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
And yeah, we've got Widnes finishing bottom. Warrington second bottom, Lee third bottom, and Catalans in that important ninth position where they get the extra home games, ninth and tenth, remember?
Wow, what a dilemma that's going to be for the RFL if it's Catalans and Toulouse in the £1 million game.
That could be fantastic,
what
though, couldn't it?
What a dilemma that's going to be.
That'll be like the Lord Derby French final, won't it?
Exactly. Would they kick Catalans out?
Yes.
Would they really?
Yes, I believe they would.
I don't think they would, you know.
I think
they'll find something within the rule books that says Catalans can't be relegated.
No. I think that...
You think so?
Yeah. They've had 10 years now. I mean, okay...
You're ruthless, you.
They got the reprieve, didn't they, in the first two or three years, where everybody said they can't get relegated. But they've had 10 years of it now. They're just as good as anybody else. They've stuffed money down the pockets and whatever. They've done the infrastructure of the club. After 10 years, it should be strong enough or not.
Mentioned the big win for Lee against Wigan in round 18 in the Super League. Other wins, there was a win for Hull FC, 34-10 against Salford.
I was surprised at that one. Didn't think it would be that simple for Hull.
St. Thomas defeated Widnes 26-10. Leeds had a half-fought victory against Wakefield. I didn't see that one. I thought Wakefield would have beat Leeds on that occasion. But 18-16 to the Rhinos. Huddersfield, big win, 56-12 to back up the big win against Warrington the week before. And Warrington's misery continued at the hands of Castleford. They were just brushing everybody aside.
Yep. And like you said, even you could play on that wing position where Eden is at the moment to run in the tries.
Billy Slater.
Are you...
Billy who?
Are you getting your DVD together to send to Darryl Powell?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I've already rang him up.
Have you? Yeah. Yeah, you've already had a chat with him.
I have.
What's he say?
No comment.
Come to me next week.
Don't ring us, we'll ring you. That's what he said to me. So we'll leave it at that. But don't forget Darryl, flying wingman back in my day for West Bank.
Well, he was a wingman. I don't know about flying.
Left back in the dressing rooms after the time. Yeah, Castleford just seems to get better, don't they? 30 tries in 18 games. That's phenomenal.
It is.
Denny
is.
Who?
Well, yeah, exactly. He might be scoring for England Rugby Union in the dark side.
Well, yeah, he scored a try. He got a couple of knock-ons and he scored a try.
Yeah.
He's the dark side international.
He'll be the darling now. Not a problem. But that just shows what players we can produce in rugby league, that, for me.
The week before, Huddersfield had a big win against Warrington and they signed Jordan Turner. No one saw that one.
I didn't see that coming. I didn't think that he would end up coming back so soon. I thought, you sign an NRL deal, you probably at least spend one season there. But I don't think he's done that. He's done about 6 months of his contract, hasn't he?
He did, and I caught up with him after that game as well. Let's hear from him. First of all, Jordan Turner, welcome back to the UK.
Thank you, mate. I really appreciate it. It's good to be back.
And great to get off to a win and start with your new team.
Yeah, I think today was really important that we got away to a win. We're coming up to a real crucial period just before the Super 8s, and any win's a bonus.
Mm. And Huddersfield is the venue. What made you choose Huddersfield to come back to?
Just for the fact of the vision that they had over the next few years, and they wanted me to be a big part of it. And then I said it earlier on in the week, I think there's a lot of potential in the squad, just probably not realising it in the minute. A bit of self-belief and a bit of confidence, and I think it's a totally different team.
You mentioned the self-belief and confidence. It was out there in abundance today against Warrington.
Yeah, well, mate, winning breeds confidence, and you know, as soon as you start getting a lead and you know you start believing in yourself again a bit more, it can totally change a player's mentality. Mm. So, it was great for us today, and it was... It's a good stepping stone for the next few weeks.
Some good try scored up there today.
Yeah, there was. As I said, there's some boys here that can really play some stuff. It's just a matter of you know getting it out of them and getting some confidence in them. And you know I believe in them all, so I wouldn't be here if I didn't.
Big win, but how do you feel you went on your debut?
Yeah, I feel I did all right. I'm the type of person though that's never just content. I think there's a lot that I can improve on, but some good stuff as well, some all right touches. So I feel like I contributed well.
Come from Australia, did that experience out there, is that improved your game? Is that going to help your game by being out there for the time you were out there for?
No, not really. I've said in interviews that I've done earlier in the week, the main thing that I got out of my Australian trip was me and my partner learned a lot of life lessons, and we feel like we're better people for it. But as from the pitch, I didn't think I learned an awful lot.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Hey, at least he was honest about the question. I wasn't expecting that answer. You always expect the player who's been over to Australia saying, yeah, we learned how to, the preparation was great, we learned this, and this. Nothing.
I love the candid answers, to be honest. I thought that was really
free
good.
Free me that.
And to be honest, yeah, we do get told, don't we, that
we
Australia
do.
Is so much better and that everybody can do this. And Jordan Turner's gone over, it's done absolutely nothing for him.
He might as well stayed with St.
He might as well have done, yeah.
And then gone to Huddersfield.
He would have saved a bit of money. But I suppose, yeah, to be fair.
All right, he got to go Australia for a bit.
He did. I mean, that's always, that's got to be a plus, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But surely not from a rugby point of view.
No. So good on you for that answer.
Yeah, I like honest answers and stuff which is a bit unscripted, you know, because sometimes you do ask a question and you expect the answer that you get, don't you?
Exactly.
So he did a bit of the old unexpected at you and you just went, oh, hey.
Okay.
Oh, I wasn't expecting that.
Exactly. Now, Super League takes a bit of a break this weekend in the UK. It's all about the road to Wembley, the Champs Cup. Still not a fan of the new format, or is it a new format? What year are we in with this one now? 2 years?
2 years. Can you class something as new in rugby league after 2 years now?
No, you can.
No, no, they'll change it again. Don't worry.
Well, they're on about moving the final to May, aren't they?
I thought you were talking about moving it from Wembley for a second. Yeah, they talked about that as well, haven't they?
There, yeah.
Yeah, where would you have it though?
They like to keep it in London, don't they? So I keep it in the Olympic Stadium.
Olympic Stadium. Right,
even
okay.
Arsenal's ground, Emirates. Yeah, I think they'd fancy it.
Right. Okay.
No, well, Old Trafford's got the grand final. Arsenal have the Champions Cup.
Is that like the come down? Is that like how Arsenal always just about qualify for Europe or something? Oh, well, we'll give you that. Don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? Because let's face it, we're not selling Wembley out, are we?
No, that is true.
It's quite embarrassing on national TV when what's meant to be the highest profile cup competition, the only cup that's knocking around within the top flight of rugby league.
I'm glad you said top flight, because we did have the other proper cup in rugby league the other week, didn't we?
We did. I'm on about in the top flight, the prestigious cup.
Okay.
And we can never sell Wembley out.
No. It's a shame.
It is a shame.
So,
and attendances in the early rounds suggest that amongst the fans, the appetite's not there.
Well, I think this comes down to Super League underselling itself, to be honest, because all the clubs wanted to give it away, didn't they?
Yes.
And it was the one game that you got everybody to pay for in the olden days, wasn't it? You know, and the one game where you could guarantee it would boost your coffers despite wherever you were.
Well,
in the
this
league.
Is where I'm not a fan of the format of Super League clubs being seeded, because it takes a potential big payday away from the likes of Feversham Rovers and the likes in the lower leagues of the ladder of rugby league. Yeah. All right, Feversham have got a big night out against Leeds Rhinos in the quarterfinals, but I'm on about teams around them that are already knocked out.
But I still think as well that in doing what Super League has done over the last 20 years, they've devalued the Challenge Cup, haven't they?
Well, if you're in the top eight, you're only playing three matches and you're at Wembley.
Well, no, I'm not even on about that structure, you know, although that could be part of it, because I think the problems and the seeds were sown a few years before, in all honesty. I think it comes down to Super League clubs offering really cheap ticket deals, because when they come to having to pay full price, nobody wants to do it anymore.
Well, it's like Widnes when they played Warrington there, they let their members go for nothing.
Exactly. So what are you doing there?
I don't know. Obviously never thought they'd get Warrington.
I don't understand it.
But the reason I'm not a fan of moving the final back to May is because when they did it in the early noughties...
Hang on, they get rid of your beloved Magic Weekend, wouldn't they?
Well, that'd go as well, but they're on about moving that somewhere, according to Roger Draper. It's got a future somewhere, he says.
Okay.
He's not decided where.
We've heard this in rugby league before.
But it's got a future.
I'll let you get away with it.
If they moved the Champions Cup final back to its original date, which was always like May, first week or second weekend in May. The problem we had in the early noughties, which kind of started the process of devaluing the Champions Cup, which is what you're on about, done by the Super League clubs, that they treated the early rounds as like warm-ups for the league season.
They did come a little bit early in the season, for them, but it's got to be played at some point, hasn't it? You know, where would you have it then? Would you keep it in its current spot on the calendar?
Would. Yeah, bring it forward maybe a week or two. Don't have it on the bank holiday.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. Is that because it would be cheaper?
It'd be cheaper for a start.
Right, okay, yeah.
And you won't have the network of the rail companies saying, right, we're going to close the lines down like they're doing with Houston this year.
Hey, you know what this says to me?
What?
That you've already written your email to Roger Draper with your suggestions. Jacko has spoken.
I have. It's going by carrier pigeon. It'll get there for 2020.
Well, you know, judging from some of your text messages to me, mate, you know, they take some time to filter through as well.
Anyway, back to the action. Quarterfinals.
Okay.
Salford take on Wakefield.
That's a Salford win.
Leeds take on Feversham Rovers, who are currently the lowest ranked team in the comp.
That's a Leeds win.
Yes. Warrington versus Wigan.
That's a Wigan win.
Finally, Hull FC versus Castleford.
I can't see beyond Cass. That's my prediction.
Look, Hull FC, the holders.
I know.
They're at home.
It'll be a cracking game. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, but I think Castle have too much in the tank.
I think Hull will win that one.
Really?
Yeah.
We'll have to sort it out another time.
Mint. We'll have a mint of a game.
Right.
Do you know who he is?
I haven't a clue.
Danny Alton.
Ah.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital. This is...